Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Amida Frey.
This is a little bit embarrassing, but I think we all need a little self-humility from time to time. I do remember a few of the instances when I was a child I remember very vividly. I was enrolled at a place called Bayshore Preschool. It was Bayshore going into kindergarten. I must have been about 5 years old, just before, five or six. And there was this moment that sticks out in my mind very, very clearly. It was a moment when we were in recess. And this school was, it was Bayshore, right about where South Bayshore is today and just south of 17th Avenue. The school is unfortunately no longer there. It was torn down. Now residential buildings and stuff. But I was in the playground and I remember hearing a sort of a commotion from our bathroom. And I ran in thinking that I would go and see what was going on. And there were two boys and they were harassing this poor little girl. And I didn't really know the girl very well. I think she had just come to the community. She was obviously of Latin descent. I didn't really know what that meant back then, but she was different. And she was hysterically crying in a stall. And I had seen two boys run out, back out to the playground. And I tried to talk to her and tried to understand what was going on. And I wound up rushing back out to the playground. And I had this altercation with these two boys because I was trying to figure out what was going on. And they were being very sort of bullying and not very nice. And one thing led to another, and the next thing I know is I wound up pushing one of the boys, and I remember this so well because we had this rock slide that was this preformed fabricated plastic slide. And he wound up going kind of face first into this slide. Now we were just kids, but he wound up injuring his nose and blood started pouring everywhere. And back then we were injured all the time. This was kind of a big deal on the South Bayshore preschool playground. I remember that I was in trouble. I remember that they had to call my parents in. My mother had to come. And I was reprimanded, and I think nobody really figured out what was going on. But from that point on, I actually became very close with this girl. And I cannot remember her name for the life of me, but I remember her face like it was yesterday. Very sweet girl, short hair. She might have been Honduran or maybe Costa Rican, but very, very sweet, soft-spoken, didn't really speak English very well. But we started to spend time together, and my family jokes with me, including my mother, that this was sort of my first girlfriend from my preschool days. But what wound up happening was this whole story must have gotten back to this poor little girl's parents, who were new to the neighborhood, new to South Florida, likely. And apparently the story was aggrandized and hyperbole must have struck because I was their hero. And my mother, always the diligent person that she was, the diplomat, wanted to make sure that this little girl's parents were invited to my next birthday party. Now, this birthday party was supposed to be a phenomenal party, a really big deal for me because it was set at the Seaquarium. I think I was 5 or 6 years old. All my friends were invited. All their parents were invited. A whole thing had been arranged by my mother. I still remember Salty the Sea Lion was there, and I got the kiss on the stage from Salty the Sea Lion. And there was a huge table in front with cake and cups and punch, and there was another huge table with all of the presents that all of the children had brought. And of course, when you're in kindergarten, no kids bring presents to anybody else's party. It's always the parents who buy the presents. Kids don't have any idea what's going on. They just want to go eat cake and play. And this was like a destination wedding, but for preschoolers because it's Seaquarium. So it was a big deal. And I had my members only jacket on. And I think nobody listening to this under the age of 35 will have any idea what a members only jacket was. But it was my pride and joy. It had the elastic cuffs and the little label right on the front. It was black. It was I still have photos of this, too. So we'd gotten through all of the rigmarole of the process and getting me up there with Salty the Sea Lion. Everything was done, and I was really kind of embarrassed about the whole sea lion thing. But we got to the present part of the whole day. And this was the first time I had ever met this girl's parents, my mother included. She had never met them either, but invitations were sent with me to preschool and kindergarten, of course, to hand to the other students to give back to their respective parents, who would then make arrangements with my mother to come. And this little girl stood by me the whole day. It was very sweet. We had become friends. Her English had not improved much, and I can assure you my Spanish was non-existent. But her parents had gone out of the way and gotten me a very nice gift. And as I went, my mother sitting there in the stands with her camera, I began opening the presents and having a good time. And I get to the present of this little girl's parents. And I didn't know who, you know, the presents really came from. I was just opening presents back and forth. And to this day, my mother still loves to point out this fact that as I opened this gift and lifted out this beautiful frilled pink dress, which had clearly been made for me, I had this dignified look on my face, and I graciously accepted the gift and put it along with all my other gifts on the next table, because apparently the little girl had conveyed that my name was Ami. Now, my name is Amida, and Ami is my nickname, and, you know, Ami is friend in French. But Ami, A-M-I, is a very common spelling for Amy as well. And I do love my name now, but it did give me problems all the way from preschool right on up through high school and college. I still am often mistaken for a miss instead of a mister. And I think this was my first real public experience with something like that. And it was pretty hilarious for everyone involved. Needless to say, her parents were phenomenally embarrassed about the whole thing. And to this day, I don't really understand at what point, when they figured out that the birthday party was indeed for a boy wearing a members-only jacket, they didn't sort of diplomatically remove their present from the pile of gifts. I'm not really clear why that is. Maybe it was just to test my character to see if I was right for their daughter. I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, it was a lot of fun, and I think that my mother did, in fact, have some communication with them subsequently wherein they expressed their sincere apologies, and I do believe the gift was replaced. Although, funny enough, I have no recollection of what the actual gift was after the dress, but the dress I can describe to you perfectly.
Amida Frey with a story about an incident in preschool that he cannot forget.
And something tells me he's going to be telling this story when he's 94. I love the way he starts out. He uses a linguistic introduction. When I say linguistic, I mean scholars have named this the abstract in story structure. It's like the setup. We could have the full story without it, but it sort of sets us up for the story. He starts out by saying, "This is a little embarrassing." And we all love to share stories of embarrassment. Maybe I'm speaking only for myself, but I don't know which is more fun, telling stories where we're embarrassed or hearing stories where other people are embarrassed.
I think it's pretty obvious. I'd much rather hear stories of other people's embarrassment.
Well, I love telling those stories because it's over. So the embarrassment is over and it's just fun to talk about. But this happened at Bayshore Preschool. And even though the school is no longer there, there is a little girl out there somewhere whose parents brought the little birthday boy a lovely pink dress.
He sounds like a hero when going into the bathroom and saving a girl. That's pretty admirable for such a little boy.
It is very, very admirable, and he protected her in some way, and here his parents wanted to repay him. I'm not going to go so far as saying that this is a hero's journey kind of story, but I will say that there was a clear hero in this story, and we like to think when we do things that are heroic, we are compensated. Hopefully that's not the reason why heroes and stories do these things, but the compensation turned out to be the funniest or most unusual part of the story.
I admire Amida's memory, but I wonder if he still has that dress.
Well, I love that you brought up memory because this is one of the things that really stuck with me from this story. Besides the image of the dress, it's what he remembered. Now, if you paid close attention, he did not remember her name, which is, after all, an abstract thing. Gertrude Stein was right. It doesn't matter what you call a rose, it's still going to smell just as sweet. And in the same way, he remembers the concrete details, the face, right? He'll never forget her face. He describes that jacket he was wearing.
I had a member's jacket.
There you go, members only. My father did too. And it's so meaningful when we hear a story and somebody is talking about something that happened more than 30 years ago, but remembers the way things looked. That is our strongest sense when it comes to memory. Some experts say that we remember up to 78% of what we saw in a presentation, as opposed to what we heard, the volume or the tone or the rate of speech, up to 78%. So the visuals are really, really important. And those are the things that stand out in this story. It's the visuals.
Why do you say the name is an abstract?
Because a name is language. When we're talking about things that are abstract in our lives and things that are concrete. So abstract language, ideas, feelings, even to some extent, you might be able to make that argument. But concrete is something you can point to, you can touch, you can smell, etc. So this is an abstract element in the story is somebody's name. So that's why it didn't stick with him. That's why Gertrude Stein said those famous lines, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. It doesn't matter what the rose is called. The name is irrelevant. It's the scent that is meaningful. It's what we can perceive through our senses.
I like the way Amita told the story.
I really did as well. He used really nice $15 words, or with inflation, maybe $22 words. He used the word aggrandize. He used the word hyperbole. And I love that he said, when he was talking about having the birthday party and kissing Salty the sea lion, he said, it was like it was a destination wedding for a birthday party. And I thought, you know, that kind of analogy made me smile, because we know what a destination wedding is, but there are destination birthday parties for little children. So it kind of brought a smile to my face, the way he used language.
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. Anything happening in the world of storytelling?
Oh, is there ever. ArtServe in Fort Lauderdale is having a storytelling course, a 6-week course that I am teaching. Tomorrow is the second night, October 17th, but it is not too late to find out about it. 954-205-5807 or email sparkshareFL@gmail.com to find out more about storytelling classes in Fort Lauderdale at ArtSir.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.